And if we could turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. The word of the Lord says the following. Isn't the fast I choose to break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see him, and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? Then your light will appear like the dawn, and your recovery will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. At that time, when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, he will say, "Here I am." If you get rid of the yoke among you, the finger pointing and malicious speaking, and if you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, then your light will shine in darkness and your night will be like noonday. The Lord will always lead you, satisfy you in a parched land, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring whose waters never run dry. Some of you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will restore the foundations laid long ago. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets where people live. Amen. You may be seated. So here tonight, I want to take a few moments, and I know as TJ mentioned earlier, our church is going to a period of 3 weeks of fasting, and praying. And it's such a beautiful thing to do together, not only for our own personal benefit, but for the benefit of the church, and together as brothers and sisters at Emmanuel Church, to fast and seek the Lord. You know, it's almost as if fasting was a cornerstone of the early church. And somehow along the line, I feel like in Western Christianity and the Western church, we've sort of lost touch with the power of prayer, the power of fasting, and what fasting really means and what fasting really does. And I'm speaking to myself first. I think about my grandma and my grandparents who in Romania fasted 3-4 days a week, fasted and prayed. But when my grandmother prayed, the heavens shook and something changed. And I'm here because of the prayers of my parents, but also of my grandparents, and specifically my grandma, who prayed and fasted. And I feel like somewhere along the line in the Western church, I'm speaking to myself first. I don't know about you, but you kind of lose touch about the power of fasting. It's because we live in a land of plenty. We live in the United States of America where we get to decide what we want to eat after this service. We have all the choices at our fingertips. And something that's even more dangerous is I feel like sometimes we have all the information ready on our phones. I've been using this app called DoorDash, and it's just so easy to just think about what you want to eat, and then it just comes right to your door. And it's almost as if it's become so difficult and challenging to really engage in fasting. But I want to take a few moments here in a few minutes to really talk about fasting and talk about some principles of fasting. how we can position ourselves as a church, as individuals, as families, to see the power of God at work in our lives. Because fasting is such a powerful discipline that we engage in. A pastor once said, if you want to fast track the will of God for your life and you really want to hear the voice of God, fasting is a powerful tool to prepare your heart to listen to what God has to say. You see, fasting can take multiple forms. You know, we think about fasting and fasting from food. One of the things that I've done in the past was I fasted from social media. I fasted from different other things, different other pleasures in life to really draw myself closer to the Lord. But in and of itself, fasting is humbling yourself before God and declaring dependence on Him for help that only He can bring. And that's my first point. Fasting is humbling ourselves. And in these next weeks, we need to humble ourselves, cry out to the Lord so He can bring help that only He can bring. It reminds me of a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as a worship leader, I think this is one of my favorite passages. It's talking about King Jehoshaphat and how King Jehoshaphat was faced with different armies confronted with the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. People came to Jehoshaphat in the beginning of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and they said, there's a multitude of people beyond the sea, and they're essentially coming to get you. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 to 4, the Bible said this. The Bible says this, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. When you are in a difficult situation, when you don't know where to turn for help, when you're afraid, when you feel like there's a problem in front of you, looming in the distance, and you can't see it, you can't perceive it, when everybody's coming at you and telling you there's no hope and that there's a multitude of problems and there's no situation, there's no deliverance from that situation, do what Jehoshaphat did and run to fasting and praying. Because when we look at a situation with our earthly eyes, a lot of times we can be discouraged. We can be downcast. But when we fix our eyes above and we look to the Lord, we see that's where our hope comes from and that's where deliverance comes from. Romans 8 verse 6 says this, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Psalm 121, the beginning, very beautiful passage that we all know. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You see, when we fast and we seek God in fasting and praying, we place our flesh in a place of submission, denying our flesh of the things that make us happy, some of the things that give us joy, and bending it to the submission of my mind and my spirit. We clear out the clutter in our minds in order to draw closer to the Lord. Every groan, every temptation that we go through when we're fasting and praying cries out to the Lord. And combined with prayer, the Lord will respond. You know, I've seen personally so much breakthrough in my life when I've sought the Lord in fasting and praying. There's just something amazing about it. Esther fasted for 3 days. And when the Israelites were faced with almost certain defeat, But the Lord came and the Lord intervened and God used her to save a nation. Because fasting is a powerful discipline. Humbling yourself before the Lord, declaring dependence on Him for help that only He can bring. Fasting is aligning your heart, secondly, to the will of God. You know, Richard Foster, an author of this book called Celebration of Discipline, talks about fasting as one of the disciplines. And he says the following: fasting must forever center on God. More than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. The things that control us. Fasting is not just missing a meal. It includes seeking God. Fasting is not just a diet that we do every day for 3 weeks or once a week. Fasting without prayer, a common quote says, fasting without prayer is just a hunger strike. When we seek the Lord and when we align our heart to the will of God, we begin to see and take the position of David in Psalm 139, where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievance way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, when we fast and when we pray, there are things in our lives that control us. And maybe we may not realize it, but fasting reveals those things. Fasting in itself manifests self-control, which is sometimes one of the hardest fruits of the Spirit to grow. You know, one of my convictions in this period of fasting, and one of the things that I've thought about it a lot, is that as Christians, we need to learn how to say no to more things. Fasting is a way that we can take control of something and say, no, I'm going to deny that so I can seek the Lord. I'm going to deny myself this pleasure now, and I'm going to seek God in prayer. When we fast, we say no to our body. We say no to our appetites. We say no to our temptations. And in a way, something so physical and something so mental transforms into developing a spiritual discipline. And as we seek the face of God in fasting and prayer, we become more holy. We begin to see things the way the Lord sees things. And as Christians, you know, we need to really be set apart and seek holiness. We need to say no to more things. We need to say no to some of the movies that we watch. We need to say no to some of the music that we used to listen to. We need to say no to the temptations of this world and the sin that comes at us at 120 miles an hour. And fasting helps us develop that discipline. Because as we seek holiness, church, and God points out to us the things that we need changing, the things that we need to be transformed, the old becomes new, and we hear the voice of God. When we seek the Lord, we are changed and we are transformed. When we hold after the Lord and we grab Him and we say, Lord, I'm gonna seek You, I'm gonna follow You, I'm gonna obey Your commandments, there's no way we leave the same. You know, in Genesis chapter 32, we find the story of Jacob wrestling with God. And we see here in Genesis 32, we see a Jacob that's full of fear. We see a Jacob that's vulnerable, that's lonely, that's exhausted. Jacob was about to reunite with his brother Esau. And if you remember the stories of what happened earlier, but Jacob and Esau weren't really good friends, right? Jacob stole Esau's blessing, his firstborn blessing. and he was about to go be reunited with his brother Esau. And during a sleepless night, the Bible says, a stranger visited Jacob, and they wrestled throughout the night until daybreak. This was a divine stranger, and Jacob knew that. And in Genesis 32, verse 26, the stranger said to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob says something really profound. He says this, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Church, how about in this 21 days of fasting, when we go before the Lord, we hang on to the Lord just like that? When we say, "Lord, I'm fasting, I'm groaning, I'm hungry, I'm denying these temptations, I'm denying these things, but Lord, I will not leave this place of prayer until you bless me. I won't leave this place until you bless my family. I won't leave this place until my son and my daughter come home and know you. I won't leave this place until, Lord, you give me peace about my job, until you help me. Lord, I don't see a way, I don't see how everything's gonna happen, but God, I know that if I'm just close to you, I won't leave until you bless me." We need more people to run after God and to pray and to ask God the things that Jacob, something that Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. We need more people like the woman that was going through the discharge of blood that saw Jesus walking in the city and said, "If only I can touch the garment of Jesus, I can be healed." Church, what if we came to this period of fasting just like that, where we say, "God, if I can only touch your garment. God, when I sing, when I come to church, and when I worship you with these songs, God, if I can only touch your garment. God, if I can only seek your face. If I can only see a glimpse of you, then that would be enough." Jacob left changed. God changed his name. He left that place with a limp. That woman left changed. An encounter with Jesus will change you. And in this 21 days of fasting, I believe, church, that if we take it seriously, that an encounter with God will change us. It'll change us, it'll change our family, it'll change our church, it'll change our youth. Let's seek God. Going back to Isaiah 58, the passage that I started with, we can see that God answers the question of what kind of fast moves his heart. We can see that, in fact, God desires to break the chains of wickedness. He desires to untie the ropes of the yoke and to set the oppressive people that are oppressed free. God desires for you, as you seek him, to experience breakthrough in your own life. God desires to set you free from sin. He desires to set you free from fear, from anxiety, from oppression. God desires to change your heart, and how beautiful that we get to do it at the beginning of the year. The goal of a fast pleasing to God is seeking the Lord in holiness, setting ourselves apart. In that, we become transformed. And the result of that is verse 8. "When the righteousness of the Lord goes before us, then the Lord's glory is in front of us and behind us, all around us." And then we begin to see how we begin to walk with Jesus and experience his presence every single day. And if we seek him, at that time, verse 9 says, "When you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, he will say, 'Here I am.'" Fasting will prepare our heart to witness the power of God. So I want to challenge you here tonight. I want to challenge you that as we enter into this period of fasting, to be intentional and to be specific. Fast for something and fast from something. Maybe the answer is fasting from social media. Maybe social media takes control of your life and you just end up doom scrolling on Instagram for hours a day. Maybe it's YouTube videos and you just go down rabbit holes of YouTube videos and you just end up wasting all your time watching YouTube videos. Maybe it's fasting from coffee. That controls me sometimes too. Maybe it's fasting from food. Maybe the pleasure that we get from food is you know, this fast, God wants us to give us direction. He wants to give us healing. He wants to restore our relationships. He wants us to encounter him. He wants to save his people. Maybe you know there's of a family or family member or a friend that needs to know the Lord, that needs to be saved. Maybe you can fast for that and say, Lord, I will fast until my loved one is saved, until you reveal yourself. All it takes is one word from the Lord, and that can change our life. One of the songs that we sang this morning is a powerful song about healing, an old Romanian song about healing, and it says something so beautiful. Un cuvânt de spui, o Doamne, și rana mea e vindecată. All it takes is one word from God. There are some situations that won't be solved with our own power. But only through the power and the might and the Spirit of God. Church, I want to encourage you and I want to motivate you. Don't let these next 3 weeks just pass by. Seek the Lord. Let's come to prayer. Let's seek God during these times of fasting and praying. And I believe with my whole heart that we will leave changed and transformed and better than when we started. God bless you all, and praying that the Lord answers the questions of our hearts and that the Lord richly blesses all of us in this new year. Amen.